mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 368. I'm Adam and...
Nada.
And here's Debbie Melrose.
You're mistaken. It's a Mark III travel machine.
Mary Lang.
Excuse me, can you help me? I'm a spy.
Andy Nunny.
Good King Wenceslas.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Why is it always me who puts his foot in it?
Yes, this week we're going to be looking at, again, at Genesis of the Daleks. We could have done it Yay! Last week, but nobody could be bothered to show up for the show. So we're doing it this week instead.
Oh, excuse me, Kirby and I could.
Yeah.
All right, I'll rephrase it. Nobody important could be bothered to show up for the show.
No, it's the girlies couldn't.
All right, yeah, they were pulling your legs. I'm allowed
to pull your legs. Yeah, we were working. We were saving lives and making people feel better.
And I was just putting together a building. There you go.
Okay, right. Well, this week, like I say, we're looking at Genesis. I apologise to the people who've been waiting patiently for this particular episode to finally come out. We're here now.
How about the ones who've been waiting impatiently? What about them?
Well, we haven't got impatient.
What about the ones who are just waiting?
No apologies necessary.
So, Genesis of the Daleks begins with a title sequence, but I need to turn the volume down, otherwise I'm going to get there we go. I nearly had a bit of the theme tune come out there. Right, I'm going to skip through this faster than normal, because we have already done it. I did post in the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast Facebook group, which you can join, our last instalment of a review of this story, just to keep people going, and also give people an idea of what we're going to talk about, whether it's the same, different. Mary's is obviously going to be the same, because she said whatever notes she's written down are the same as last time, so that's going to be quite interesting. Right, it begins. Hang on, some funny noises.
Are you my mummy?
Some funny yes. noises outside the room. I know what's going on there.
Only with drastic surgery.
Lord, I hope not.
Yeah. No, I was referring noises. to the gas mask.
I know.
Very good.
Yes, we see. It's basically a battle scene. And then the Doctor turns up and has a bit of a conversation with a Time Lord with a very strange costume.
Yes,
Master. He's dressed like Death from that famous movie that I forget the name of, where the knight has the chess game with Death.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I forget the name as well, but I know the one you mean.
The Doctor doesn't want to help the Time Lords until he says Daleks, and then he wants to listen to a bit more. Eh?
I said, Bill and Ted.
Yeah. Yes.
So he gets persuaded into taking part in the venture and is given a time ring, which will take them back to the TARDIS as and when.
Looks like a bracelet, not a ring.
Yeah, right. The TARDIS has... the task has been succeeded, if you like. They find a dead soldier with a very interesting blue sort of radiation detector thing on his chest, which looks very modern, actually. And then they start walking around. The Doctor puts his foot on a mine.
mine!
There's quite an amusing scene, actually.
You're welcome to it, Kirby. I don't want it.
Mine.
Yeah, somebody talked mine? About that. That reference. It's a reference to a film called Finding Nemo, if I remember rightly.
That's right. Yes.
Mine.
Anyway, so the Harry eases the mine out of.
Such a ridiculous scene.
No, apparently you can get away from a mine that way if you hadn't set it off in the first place.
Okay.
It just seemed very rocky and movie when they're trying to do it. Yes,
rocky and movie.
Yeah, you know what I mean. It was moving around too much for me to be, you know, entirely happy with the whole idea. But then I remembered it's a fantasy science fiction TV show.
And it's on an alien planet, Debbie. Anyway, so they end up in this sort of bunker, which looks a bit more like World War One sort of trench bunker.
Yes, World War One style trench into a sort of World War Two style interrogation room.
And so they get attacked by gas and stuff, and Sarah and Harry get left behind while Sarah gets left behind while Harry and the Doctor get taken prisoner by that chap from Hello, Hello.
Yeah. the one that with his little tank.
Yeah.
Have we got the Madonna with the big boobies then?
Yeah, he's
someone
the one.
By Van Klopp.
Yeah. Anyway, so the doctor that has to turn out his pockets, and some more of the amusing things come out of his pockets when he turns them out. One of them being the time ring. But if we have a closer look,
it takes some time.
If we have a closer look as to what was taken out of his pocket, they included the sonic screwdriver, a yo-yo, a magnifying glass.
I thought that was going to be one of your questions.
An iPod. Looks like an iPod, one of those mini iPods that came out many years ago, actually. So you red thing of the circle on it, or that might just be part of the map. Oh, it's part of the map. I do apologise. Sorry. Anyway, hang on, the dog wants to come in. Bear with.
Cower in the corner because Kirby's
talking. Come on. So we're not going to fly this as quickly as you intended, huh?
Well, because the dog wants to come in. Anyway,
so you're missing the doctor's pockets contents.
The doctor and Harry try to overcome the chat from LOLO. And then Sarah meanwhile wakes up and then sort of can't get in to where obviously the doctor and that is. So goes off on a wander. And you are not going in there.
Oh, sorry,
the dog is trying to get into the place where he can turn everything off if he lies in the wrong place. I've just woke him out. Right, sorry.
Leia.
Pardon?
My cat's scratching the stairs.
So, then we meet Nada, who has a chat with a bloke from LOLO. And the doctor and Harry get outside, but they get caught by some more soldiers. Sarah, meanwhile, gets caught by some tramps.
Mutos.
Yeah. And then the Doctor and Harry are interrogated in a similar way by Nada.
Pasta?
Yes.
No tea as well.
No tea.
Wasn't that awful?
Oh, disgraceful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wasn't happy about that, was he?
I had to go completely decaf, and I've just spent 2 weeks without a decent cup of tea, and I'm finally
back.
What?
Why are you, Debbie, why are you not taking caffeine?
Well, to carry on with the Alo-Alo thing, I have a dicky ticker.
Oh, right.
My heart doesn't like it anymore. I have to be careful.
Oh, right. Oh.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of falling apart, you know, so that slowly.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, since I turned 50, I'm knackered. And all things have gone wrong with me.
In December, and, you know, so blimey.
Anyway, God sake, it's a six-part story. Yes.
We're catching up on our health news here.
Exactly.
Several years ago, I put together a video that I put on YouTube as Niter's looking through the stuff that the doctor had in his pockets.
Yeah.
He picks up and asks about one of them. It's an etheric beam locator.
Yeah.
The exact same wording is used by the doctor and the master in Curse of Fatal Death.
Oh.
Referring to the master's Dalek bumps.
There you go. Right.
And watch the video that I put out there.
Do I have to?
I will.
Oh, it's funny. You want me to post it again?
No, shut up. Right. Anyway, meanwhile, Sarah goes wandering across the wastelands and gets followed by some rather dodgy-looking men. Happens to women all the time, otherwise, isn't it? Sort of unusual. And then we meet Davros, who pardon?
He's truly terrifying.
Is he? Who presents his brand new sort of invention-y type thing, which is a sort of little tank case.
A Mark III travel machine.
A tank case for the future mutation of the Khalid race. It's a little container to keep the little
mutations
in.
Funny, that's an anagram of well.
Which begs the question.
Yeah.
Is the TARDIS translation circuit also making anagrams?
I don't know, mate. Does it matter?
Yes.
Oh.
How does it work?
Wibbly wobbly.
The doctor is put in some machine, and the time ring is then found and confiscated. And Sarah is about to get killed.
Again.
But she's not very mutated. So they either hypnotized or killed. She might be all right for doing a bit of work in a radioactive environment.
Just for a bit, you know.
The doctor's belongings are sort of filed, and then he's sort of in on this sort of demonstration of what the Dalek can do. The Dalek then discovers that there's the Doctor is not quite fit, doesn't quite fit into the situation that they're in. So and he's just about to get exterminated by the Dalek, but Davros stops it by switching a little switch
on
his
Davros,
pad.
It's
not Davros.
Yeah.
Is it not Davros?
But he gets really
cross
about it.
Oh, sorry.
He stops the experiment.
Are you and Kirby having a pedant off or something like that?
Yes.
No, I completely agree with her.
Okay.
I would have said it if she hadn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So the Doctor and Harry are sort of locked up, and I've got something coming up. As a Gmail notification, it's probably a bit of feedback that just arrived, and they're able to look into this room that contains.
Abby's going to win the quiz.
The embryonic Dalek mutations.
There he is.
And then.
Yeah, dream again.
Yeah. And Sarah, meanwhile, tries to escape her job that she's now got, which is taking radioactive isotopes up to the top of this town.
Craziest cliffhanger of
she gets helped by a couple of people, but they get shot, and then she falls in and then freezes in midair.
Right, yeah.
Like, she takes everyone with her on this daring escapade. Yeah.
So episode 3 starts with a recap of this, and eventually she gets to the top of the tower, but unfortunately so do the soldiers, and there's a horrible bit where...
We see her definitely falling much further.
Yeah, she's falling on the outside, of the structure. You know, so how does she end up on the
inside
platform?
It's a science fiction fantasy TV show. right, so they get to the top of the rocket, and then one of the soldiers thinks it's really good fun to sort of just dangle Sarah over the over the side. With one arm.
I could just let you go. So, for God's sake, stop teasing the poor woman.
So, meanwhile,
after that, it's my favourite scene.
Meanwhile, the Doctor and Harry are wandering around the caves, and Harry gets his foot stuck in a giant clam, which the Doctor manages to release by banging it with a sort of polystyrene rock. My initial thoughts on this, while the leg was stuck in the clam, the Doctor surely hitting it on the top of the clam would then clamp the jaws back on his leg a bit harder.
Yes.
Yeah, you would have thought it made more sense to get something in between and sort of like prise it open.
But maybe physics works differently on Skaro. I don't know.
Why is it some of the best Doctor Who stories from this era had
giant clams?
Well, there was a giant clam and there was the giant rat in Talons of Wing Chiang.
If you say so. Ian Kirk has just posted saying his transcript is available to read, but it might be a good idea waiting till it actually appears on the show.
Is Alan Butcher's available? This is what everybody wants to know.
Yes, Alan T. Butcher has provided some blurb for Mary this week.
He probably did it.
Now, just since discovered that Mary's better at reading it than Debbie. So,
where's the fun in
that? Said
that?
Who says that?
Alan.
Did he?
I never get to read feedback.
All right.
I think that Kirby and Andy should have a turn.
Andy there sitting with his lips swinging around in sulk mode.
Swinging?
So, right. Back to the story. So the Doctor has a conversation with some of the, bloke from Hello Hello's mates, actually. And so, basically, they're making a bomb to fire at the, somebody or other. Thals?
Thals.
Yeah, the fire at the Thals.
Yeah, they're the Thals.
But there's spies left, right, and centre, and the Davros is...
The ones dressed like Nazis are the Khaleds. The other side is
green forest green sort of Lincoln greeny people are Thals.
But Davros is sort of going both ways to sort of manipulate his side of things.
That's what he said.
What? So it's all sort of.
I just realized in this very nice DVD. Now, I bought the official DVD, that little trap door that they come up through in the Thal City. You can see the wood grain on it, just barely painted over. I couldn't see that. on my old VHS copy.
Riveting. Cool. Thank you for that, Kirby. right, so yeah, so that Davros tells essentially says that he's happy for them to destroy his allies, the Khalids, with this rocket, because obviously he wants to start his new race of Daleks. The Doctor, meanwhile, manages somehow to get himself electrocuted at the end of the episode.
Yes.
And we see lots of teeth.
How is it? How close are these cities? I mean, if they've had this war for 100 years, and yet you can walk back and forth.
How close are these cities?
I mean, what on earth is that?
What is going on?
There's a very
that's feedback. Where's that coming from?
That was really echoing down the Skype tube there, wasn't it?
Was it me? I mean, it was me, but I wasn't.
Well, it wasn't me. It was me. Anyway, back to the story. So the Doctor gets electrocuted, and we see lots of teeth.
And pearls.
And there's a countdown to the launch of the rocket, which the Doctor sort of tries to stop a little bit, but unfortunately doesn't, and it fires off. And we see some stock footage of one of the NASA rockets firing up in the air. And so I did go quite high up in the air at the Kirby, Master, so I've obviously crossed quite a distance apart. Yes?
Master, I actually thought their little business of panning along the side of the model of the rocket and changing the color is actually quite effective for being a cheap effect.
Yes, I'd say that was quite effective, wouldn't you, Debbie?
Yes.
Yes. So the Khalid dome dissolves. It's obviously made out of polystyrene with the pouring thinners over it to make it dissolve.
The Khalid dome.
Oh, whoever's dome it was, I don't care. A dome.
So it's Khalid. It's a Khalid dome.
Let me interrupt to say this is something that confused me constantly. It seemed like sometimes it was the Thal, sometimes the Khalids, and it's back and forth. Before I know it, I'm so confused. I don't know who's a Thal and who's a Khalid, and whose dome collapsed and who's building the rocket. It seems like the Khalids and the Thals were both places.
It felt like they were both doing it, wouldn't it? It was like they were both at it. And then
they're both at it, were they, Debbie? That's what she said.
It's very simple. It's very simple.
Go on, then.
The Khalid dome is the dome that gets collapsed.
Well, how is that simple? Are there two domes or just the one?
The bunker is not in the bunker where the Daleks are and where the Khalid scientists is not in the dome. It's in a separate place. And that's made clear, actually, better in the novelization.
Okay.
So, who read the novel,
the Thal dome survives, but the Daleks come and they shoot everyone in the Thal dome.
Right. Okay.
Right, back to the land of the living. I think what I was trying to allude to that bit is a bit confusing. Thank you, Mary. If I had my belt, there it is. We'll get one of them for basically agreeing with me. Right, so Aaron T. Butcher says, Debbie's delivery probably has more entertainment value. Mary's is perhaps more intelligent. Hey! Oh, no, sorry. No, that last word was read wrong. It says good intelligible. Job. Intelligible, not intelligent. And then he says, everything is relative. I didn't know you two were related, Debbie.
No, but I love
it
a bit.
Well, I do too, but we're not related. Right then, so the Khalid dome collapses, and the Doctor then makes friends with a lady with very short hair, and
very closely resembles the Thals from the original.
I suppose she does, really.
And yes, then they meet. I'm hoping that was deliberate because that's what I picked up.
Okay. Then they meet Sarah again because at this, I forgot to mention this. At this point, the Doctor thinks that Sarah and Harry is dead, killed with
Sarah
and
Harry are dead, killed by the rocket. But they managed to sort of get out of that situation, and he's delighted to see them. And then they meet Sarah's friends, and they start forming a bit of a, what would you call
band.
It? A band? No, I'd say
band of friends.
A band of friends, okay, yes, to sort of basically battle the Daleks. So the Doctor really does want to get into this situation of being able to destroy the Dalek race from the start. The Doctor is then caught and then bound to a chair because Davros wants to get all the information out of the Doctor that indicates how the Daleks lost when they did lose, because he's found, obviously, the Doctor is from the future. He manages to...
What's going to happen is he's going to find one, that's going to fit the future. So because they lost one, it means they won't lose the next one, and things like that. So he'll actually screw up time completely. So what's the point? All he has to do is go back to the earliest one.
I really don't think Davros
why
is...
they lost that.
I don't think Davros is bothered by that, to be fair. The Doctor's not going to tell him, until, obviously, he threatens to kill Sarah and Harry. Easy way out of that one. Or torture them. Sorry. There's a bit where he turns a little knob on his chair and Sarah looks like she's being tortured. Yes. So then she starts...
Well, she doesn't get hypnotized in this particular story.
Yeah, so then the Doctor does indeed...
They don't want to overuse that one.
Yeah.
Right, hang on. So he's coming to say goodbye.
Oh, is it Lovely Dawn? Goodbye, Lovely Dawn.
Hang on a bit. I'll pass those headphones over.
Zaki wants to say night night to everyone.
Does he?
Night night.
Hey? Night night. Look, I didn't speak. Night, Zach.
Night, Zach.
Night, Zach. Night, night, Zach. This makes riveting podcast listening to the viewers, isn't it?
Good night, Zach, at 3 in the afternoon.
Hello. Night, night.
Night, night.
Night, night.
Hey!
Oh,
that was so well sweating, Wolf.
Okay.
Good night.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I think I deserve a medal.
You do deserve a medal.
So
if I had one to give you, I would give you one. I mean, a medal, that is.
Yes.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, but what one of those sort of ones that you get
MBE.
At a half marathon?
That'll
do with a bit of ribbon on it.
Or a chocolate medal.
Yeah, chocolate medal, that'd be good. Or maybe a medal that you open up and it has some wine in it or something like that. That'd be quite good, wouldn't it?
Yeah, one of them.
Liqueur chocolate medal. Yes, yeah. That'd be great. Yeah. Anyway, folks, I'll let you carry on with your podcast. I hope it goes well, okay? Take care.
Yeah, bye.
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 Anyway, right, where were we?
I'm sitting in my geek basement.
No, that's not what I meant. Right, so yes, so there's a chap who's very, very posh, and he thinks he can talk Davros out of, you know, use his sort of political powers to stop Davros his tracks by, you know. So he goes to the committee, and there's a funny scene actually where the Doctor overpowers Davros by holding his hand up and then switches off his life support machine and does his little wobbly thing.
I will do it. Yeah.
But unfortunately, yes. Nida bangs him over the head. Just when we're having some fun with that scene, Nida knocks the Doctor out. And
I think Nida, I mean, he must be quite thick. He must realise that he's going to get done in the end. I mean, you know, he hasn't got much of a future, really, has he? So it's like, you know, why is he still sticking?
His only chance is to stick with the chap who seems to have the best options, the best power options. So that's why he's staying with him. So the Doctor, Sarah and Harry are locked up again. There's a few little skirmishes. Okay. And there's another funny scene in which Nida pretends that he's gone against Davros. There's a point. That's what I wanted to hear, and then,
I wouldn't have given up my information that easily to someone who's going. I am really, honestly, not with Davros anymore.
Yes. So the Doctor finally gets to the incubator with the baby Daleks in it and starts connecting some wires because he's going to blow it up, and
kill.
Yeah, there's certain scenes of him connecting wires, and then he steps out of the room with an octopus attached to his neck.
very job Pertwee.
And then we see lots of teeth again as he's getting strangled. At least his eyes aren't going all cross eyes and stuff like that. Just lots of teeth.
Yeah.
And then he gets rescued by Harry. Then he has the two wires, the iconic scene with the two wires in front of him. Yes. Do I have the right to do
have
this?
The right, yes.
Yes, you do. Well, the Dalek had the right to roll over the wires and blow them up later in the episode. But there you go.
The little creatures were going to kill you. So
yes,
it's either you or them.
Yeah. So the Doctor and Harry.
It was a little bit of a think, doesn't it? Really, it's good pause. Actually, I really like that.
The Doctor, Harry, and Sarah, meanwhile, sort of watch a little meeting between the scientists and Davros and Nida. And while that's going on, he nicks all his stuff back out of the little container, including the time ring. And and on his desk, Davros just happens to have a total destruct button that's very convenient. I can imagine. Imagine that being on the. I can imagine that being on President Trump's bench on his desk, little blasting, little total destruction button on it. Very iconic,
he needs
big red
letters to make sure he doesn't make a mistake.
I take it about Davros, not Donald Trump.
Trump make a mistake. How could Trump make any sort of mistake?
We're talking about Davros at the moment, not Trump. Thank you very much.
Back to Davros.
Yes. Anyway, so now there's a point here in which the Doctor regains the time ring. So, meanwhile, the Daleks are having little skirmishes with the rebels. And while they run off, the rebels start laying explosives in the corridors, because they're going to seal in the bunker and kill everybody in sight. The Doctor, meanwhile, decides that he should have actually blown up the Daleks after all. And while the others, they've kidnapped Nida, and they get all the time ring out of the safe. I forgot to mention this. And the recording of the Doctor's stories about how the Daleks were defeated. He shoots rather iconically with the Dalek gun. I said garlic gun.
A garlic gun.
Yeah.
Garlic gun.
And then they get Nida escapes and they get locked in the room. Pardon? Dalek gun. So that Nida escapes and they end up getting locked in the room. And the sonic screwdriver can't open the door very conveniently.
Oh, no. Is it wood?
It could be. And then, of course, the little meeting between the Dalek, Davros and the TARDIS ends in the Daleks killing everybody. And the Doctor, meanwhile, decides he's got to go back and blow up the Daleks. And while Sarah and Harry sort of go to safety. He also gets his hat and coat as well, just to be on the safe side. And a very kind Dalek rolls over the primed power cables and blows the Daleks up. Meanwhile, the Daleks come in and kill everybody, and they've basically turned on Davros, and Davros apparently gets exterminated while trying to press the total destruct button.
You know, amazing
have
use
pity.
Of the word.
Yeah,
but
like, what?
there's a point in which the Doctor has the time ring, and they're all together, and they could have just all gone and not seen these last 5 minutes of the story, just grabbed the time ring and gone. Wouldn't have made a very good end to the story, but never mind.
But we want the satisfaction of seeing Davros attacked by his own creations.
Yes, we do. So Davros is apparently dead, and obviously we know he isn't. And the Daleks are penned in for 1,000 years. Yeah. And then we have the final, obviously the monologue at the end where the Doctor says, out of some evil can have some bring good or whatever. I can't remember what the exact paraphrase was. I should have perhaps used that as my quote. And that's the end of the story. Right. Genesis of the Daleks, everybody, is a very, very good story. One of the best stories. But it's just that I find it a bit tedious to watch it.
And you're wrong.
I'm not wrong. No. I'm just saying. Let me finish. I do enjoy watching it to a degree. But I know the story. I think it's Terry Nation's best work by far. It is brilliantly paced. I don't think it should be shorter, even though I find it a bit tedious. I think 6 episodes does it really well. But there is a little bit of this backwards and forwards thing going on between both sort of factions, which is a bit typical of Doctor Who. And I suppose some people, if anybody didn't like this story, they might think that was padding. But on the whole, it's a really, really good Doctor Who story. It is very well sort of constructed. It's got good characters in it. It reminds me a little bit of an old series from the 70s called Secret Army. I think it was Secret Army.
Oh, on the Isle of Wight. Isle of Wight, Channel Islands, thank you, Bob.
Yeah, I think it was a Channel Islands.
Yes, I remember that.
It has a sort of feel of that about it. But
that was the only part of the UK that was actually invaded.
Yeah.
Anymore.
But for me, it is very, very good, but it's not my favourite Doctor Who story. I don't know why, I just don't find it that enjoyable as some other stories I've watched, you know.
The way I see it, it seems it's like it's almost like two different stories in one, because you can actually split it. The first bit is running around trying to work out whose side they're on, and the second one is actually running around against Davros. So it's actually, in a way, two three-parters put together.
Maybe so, but I mean, it's difficult for me. I don't mind. I've got to watch this six-part story, but it is actually quite enjoyable while you're watching it. But I don't think, for me, it is the best Doctor Who story. But it is extremely good. It's an extremely good Doctor Who story, but it's not the best. Because, obviously, I compare that with my favourite stories, like City of Death. And
City of Death is better,
Yeah. And for me, this has been rated as the best. Cage of Androzani is better than this. But there you
yes,
go.
I'll agree with us, yes. You know.
But it is very,
actually,
very good.
I like this one better in Cage of Androzani.
Well, I don't, but there you go. That's a matter of opinion, isn't it? But yeah, it's still pretty good. I can't remember what I said last time, but I stick to the fact that it's not as good as people say it is. So what did... Now, I've got people who may... Has anybody seen this story... hasn't seen this story before?
Me.
Right, I'm going to listen to you a bit later then, Debbie. So we're going to do Kirby next.
Well... I agree it is not the best story, but it is up there, close to the top, is one of my absolute favorites. Yes, I like City of Death better, but Genesis is just a damn fine story. It is.
I never said it wasn't, Kirby. I just said it's not the best.
Yeah, I know. I believe this is probably my second favorite. No, it's my third favorite Tom Baker story. City of Death is number one. Tales of Wing Chiang is number two. it's just wonderful. It's not too long. The
that's what she said.
Padding, the obvious padding section. The padding of the silly giant clam is funny, which makes me not. I'm not bothered by it. It's just so silly. I ended up having to buy the DVD because I've been watching a DVD copy of my old VHS for years and years and years. I don't know why it took me so long to get around to buying it 2 weeks ago, but yeah, I finally own it for real.
Me too.
And I'm so glad I did, because I was finally able to watch the extras, which were on disc two. It's just wonderful. It was the first Dalek story I ever saw. I saw it within the first 3 weeks of discovering Doctor Who. And there's not much more I can say.
Good. That makes a change. Brilliant. Okay, Andy, what did you think?
Well, say in a way, this is two three-parters put together, because there's all the running around internally trying to work out whose side they're actually on and getting Sarah and Harry and the Doctor back together again. And the second part is actually working against the Daleks and Davros, and then it's the Civil War where actually the Daleks actually kill Davros at the end. So I think it's fascinating.
No,
because what do you mean they don't? They do kill Davros, of course. Well, they try to kill Davros. But I think it's fascinating.
What, haven't you watched any of the Dalek stories after this?
I'm talking about this one alone, where they try to kill Davros, don't they?
Yeah, when we leave this one, the assumption is that Davros has been killed.
Yeah, Andy.
Thank you, Mary.
Andy.
The rest of you.
Andy.
Yes, but I find it fascinating.
Andy.
Because I think it really does show. Sorry, yeah, go on. Yeah.
Tell Kirby to shut up.
He did.
Kirby, put a sock in it. Right. I do find this fascinating, because I think it really is, and I'm sure Alan T. Butcher will talk about this. It is really an allegorical reference to Nazism, because that's really who the Daleks are. But you can see the way you've got absolute power, and absolute power corrupting absolutely, which is what happened to Davros, and the fact he gets then caught out completely. And the point I made earlier about why Nida, I mean, Nida really must be thick. He must have known, he was going to get it coming to him. And as long as Davros survived, he's okay. But as soon as Davros went, which was going to happen, he's finished. you know, what chance did he have? You know, he had no escape plan whatsoever. So in that way, he's quite thick. The way he didn't see what was going to happen. But no, I thoroughly enjoyed this. I've seen several versions. I've seen the edited version. I've got the audio version. Did you know about this was the first one shown in France?
No, I didn't know that. Did you know that, Kirby?
It was shown as, it was, you know, Doctor Elegénesis de Dalek.
Oh, brilliant.
Which actually sounds more Spanish than French, I do realise, yes. That was it. Yeah, I studied French and Spanish and German, but we won't go there. But, yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did Latin as well. What a waste of time that was. But then there it goes. But, no, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it really is a classic. I think it's standard. I think the way that the Doctor plays it, but also you've got Harry and Sarah able to play characters in their own right as separate characters, and I think that's what really works. So, yeah, to me, thumbs up.
Excellent. Debbie.
Yes.
Go on, Em.
Okay. Well, I watched it twice now.
You're saving her for last.
No. I want you last. Oh, that sounds
you're
a bit rude.
Last, Barry.
You're always last.
You're last. Yeah.
Always bringing up the rear.
Hey. Who misses for an half an hour?
That's because your opinion counts the most. So there you go. Right.
Just
well,
get on with it.
Princess, I am intelligible.
I'm not. I'm just humour. Right. I've watched this twice now, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I can see why it's so highly rated. It was, yeah, six episodes, but six episodes that were well padded, that were funny, that gave you a lot of pause for thought throughout. Obviously, when you've got the Doctor with the two bits of wire, iconic scene. But I thought the scene where he's actually talking to Davros about what if you held in your hand,
yes,
the ingredients, yes, for, you know, total world domination, yeah, you do it. And for, yeah, a minute, you think Davros has got a shred of humanity in him, and then you're like, no. And I thought that was amazing. That scene was my favourite scene. I really enjoyed all the different use of the sets was great, and obviously the bit where they're climbing the tower was a bit weird and silly, but I just felt like Sarah Jane was just immediately, when she suggested they were escaping, I was like, well, there's another four episodes here, so she's not going to succeed. It's like, you know, the futility of the position they were in, and compared to, like, obviously the Nazis, and it was just such a nice thoughtful Doctor Who with action thrown in, obviously a couple of his non-intentionally hysterical moments, and I really enjoyed it. I'm not sure if this is going to be my favourite Doctor Who episode, because there's so many fine stories that I haven't seen, but it's definitely up there as Tom Baker as being amazing. Davros, I was actually still, actually I'm 40 years old and I was scared of him. Weren't, mm-hmm, you know, it, yeah, still had that whole my childhood is terrifying me again. It really had that all the way through, especially when he got more excited and he's hollering at them in his voice, and I was just like, I'm absolutely terrified here. I'm just sat here on my own watching Doctor Who being quite frightened, and it really drew me into it, and it's one I want Isla to watch, but I just think it's time she got scared of Doctor Who, but not as scared as she was obviously of the Bastion Narada, because that put her off for years, didn't it? But that put her off Doctor Who for a while, but I think this was just brilliant Doctor Who story, brilliant, up there for me. There you go.
Oh, sorry, that was riveted. Thank you very much. I was riveted.
No, sorry.
Thoroughly enjoying that. Thank you very much. Okay. I seem to have frozen on Facebook for some reason.
Oh, you have? Yeah.
How weird. I was going to read some blurb that come from.
Yeah, let's see.
That's weird. There's no reason for me to freeze. Who is
it? It's cold.
Mary.
Winter, okay, on Facebook.
I didn't know if you wanted me to carry on. I will. I do,
yes.
Okay. Well,
the feed's gone.
That's all right. We're still podcasting.
Yeah, we're still podcasting.
Our primary function.
Well, this story is a classic. You know, there's not too much negative to say about it, because it is. It's well written. It's well acted. Well directed, everything about it is done really well. But of course, there are things that always stand out, and we've already mentioned, you know,
Sorry about that. I'll do the flies up.
Harry and the Giant Clam, you know, which to me sounds suspiciously like a children's book. And with Sarah falling off the scaffolding, you know, as a cliffhanger was a little silly because then the resolution didn't match the cliffhanger. And I wondered how Isla would respond if she saw that scene of the soldier holding Sarah Jane by her wrist. Mm.
Yeah.
Ready to drop her. To me, that's kind of sadistic. That would really scare any children watching it.
Definitely.
That's very nightmarish. But other than that, a couple things bothered me outside of what I've mentioned. One is the doctor in that iconic scene of holding those two wires with his, do I have the right? And he's being so careful with those wires. But then when the scene is over, he just kind of throws one wire with the other one in his one hand and kind of flings them off.
No. You can, before he does that, they've pulled the wires out from the door. So they're no longer connected to the explosive.
They went back in
and rehooked them up.
Oh well, I wasn't aware of the unhooking and rehooking up. Okay. Oh my gosh, those wires are touching.
Mary, that's up there with the witch dome we got melted.
Yeah, I'm so confused. Which scene counts and which one doesn't? And the other thing that bothered me some that seemed a little odd was the tremendous distances that they have to travel from one dome to another, and yet Davros in his little chair and them even on foot seem to magically, you know, appear with seconds from one to the other. And I was thinking, how are they doing that?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of
doesn't bother me.
Yeah, well, it bothered me because it seemed to take me out of the story a little bit. But
the most part, fantasy TV show.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so I recognize it as a classic, and like Adam, I was a little dreading watching it again because I don't find all of it interesting. But overall, yeah, I can see why it's a classic.
Thank you, Mary.
Cool.
Right.
Yeah, I end up watching it 3 times over the past.
Oh my gosh, Kirby! Well, you're not for life.
Well, yeah. there was one day I was not expecting to watch it, and Fred came downstairs and said she wanted to watch some Doctor Who, and well, so I just put it on. We watched the whole thing straight through.
Oh my gosh, that's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I did
three
it.
Three hours every time you watched it.
Yep.
Right. I'm having a bit of an issue at the moment because I can't access the original feed, and I can't read all the messages which are on it, which is really annoying. Very, very irritating. Because there was a few messages came through.
We're going to have to see those to see what the messages were.
Yeah, nothing's coming through, which is very annoying.
Repost your messages, anybody who's listening.
Yeah, I had, obviously, Alan T. Butcher put something through, and Laurie Nix said something, and all I've got is having a Davros-like fit from Laurie, then no, which is obviously because the feed had frozen. And Alan T. Butcher saying the broadcast has died. So, sadly, it had died. It's completely gone. But there you go. That's a benefit of being a podcast, because the show does go out, but just the technical difficulties we have with the Facebook Live.
Well, you're live now again.
Yes, but... Oh, John Davey. John Davey says, hi there. And
hi there. Hello, John.
John's going to be at Isle of Wight Comic Con, and I'd just like to pre-warn John, actually. Earplugs when you meet Debbie.
What?
My wife, Debbie. She's quite a loud lady. Because John's going to be doing some video messagey stuff, and Deb's going to be filming it. But yeah.
You're talking about me.
Stuff's coming through here now. We've got Joshua Dybel says the previous video with comments is on the podcast timeline. Is it?
Yes, it is. But every time I try to look at the comments, it starts playing the video.
Well, that's good. Oh, I see you got to play the video and see the comments. Ah, that's a little exclusive for anybody watching the Facebook Live feed. So, anyway, shall we do feedback?
Look, I think this was just brilliant.
Hey, it's me.
Don't stop it. Turn it off, or you'll get point deducted.
Okay, I see the comp. No, wait. Where'd they go?
Kirby.
What?
Be quiet. Right then, we're going to do some feedback. Joshua Dybel says, "Hi, 20 megabyte podcasters. We all know how exceptionally good this one is." Is he talking about the podcast? Yes. Probably not. "One of the best in the show's history." He's obviously talking about episode 380. I can't remember what number on there. 367, that thing he's talking about. "It was one of the first Doctor Who stories which spooked me out big time when I was a nipper."
Freaked me out and I'm 40.
I keep on going about being 40, Debbie. It's still quite young.
I'm still shocked.
Now, are you celebrating or mourning?
Both.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Josh. "I've since watched it so many times that I almost know the script word for word. In fact, I've probably watched it too many times now, but I still enjoy a peep. I love the recent new Who reappearance of Davros with the 12th Doctor, so it was great to remind myself of his very first appearance in Genesis. I wonder if we'll see Davros again. Wouldn't be surprised. At school, probably, we had a Latin teacher nicknamed Davros. He had similar looks at a slight stretch of the imagination. Like Davros, he was utterly ruthless and not to be crossed with. A very old-school type teacher. Loved giving out lines. You never argued with him." I bet Kirby would. I could talk about this story evening, but I'm not going to. So, and then they said, "This is a classic, plain as. Enough said. Catch you another time, Josh." Thank you, Josh. That's Joshua Dybel, everyone.
I think Kirby
wants
you. Thanks, Josh.
Master.
Cheers,
Josh. Thank you.
Master.
Yes?
You know, Latin teachers never die. They just decline away.
Yes.
Badum-ching.
Deb, if you go badum-ching for things aren't worth going badum-ching on, you'll get your points deducted, just like to point out. Right then.
All right.
We got this one. Oh, no, we haven't.
You put too much gravitas.
What on earth has Ian Kirk sent me? I'm quite not sure what that is, so I'm not going to read it. It sent me something, but I'm a bit confused by what it is.
It
says Knight of the Triffids. It sent me something. It says Knight of the Triffids by Simon Clarke is a sequel to Day of the Triffids by John Wyndham.
It's an awful, but I've read it. It's dreadful. It's awful.
No. I don't know if he sent this to me on purpose or what.
It's based on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah. And then he says, the original Triffids could not stand salt water. The action takes place on two islands, Manhattan in New York and the Isle of Wight. Big Finish made an audio version in 2014 starring Sam Troughton, grandson of Doctor Who actor Patrick Troughton, and Nicola Bryant, who played Perry in Doctor Who. For the next 24 days or so, it is available free on BBC One iPlayer. Episode 1, he's got sent me a link to that, episode 1. Thank you, Ian. Billy Kirkbright, everybody.
Yay!
Yay!
Nice.
Okay, Genesis of the Daleks by Terry Nation. This was the very first story I heard the 20 megabyte podcast review way back in February, or was it March in 2014. The week before, I listened to Adam and Paul Wilson have a chinwag when Paul visited the Isle of Wight and spoke about this and that. I thought, oh, that's nice. I think Paul from memory put it on his Facebook page, and I was pondering about it on Facebook and came across that post and thought, yeah, I'll have a listen to that. And then I thought, oh, that wasn't bad. I'll listen to it next week. And then I heard you all review Genesis of the Daleks. Yeah. Happy days. Well, the rest is history, isn't it, really? Anyway, yeah, Genesis. I absolutely loved it. I think the main reason why I thought the concept was brilliant, you know, I'm not particularly fond of six-parters usually. I think in some cases, or in most cases, they tend to drag on a bit. But in this case, with the notion, you know, showing the origin of the Daleks, etc., the introduction of Davros, I think this was worthy of a six-parter. And I thought it was fantastic. Brilliantly played by Michael Wisher was Davros. And in fact, just a bit of a sidestep here. If you've not heard I, Davros by by Big Finish. It's really worth a listen because it really gives the megalomaniacy and the psychopathy of Davros as a young boy, and it's absolute brilliance. It really is. So there you go. Slight plug there for Big Finish. But anyway, Genesis, yeah, great stuff. I love the Nazi regime parallels. I think another aspect of why I like this story is that it really gives away that the Daleks are more than just Pepper Pot robots, you know, silly, you know, let's make smash kind of robots off that advert kind of thing. It really brings out the organic aspect of the Daleks, and I like that. Great stuff. Now, I've heard over the years that some people haven't particularly liked this story, or at best, if they think it's average, nothing to write home about. But if that's you, quite frankly, in my opinion, you're a pseudo Doctor Who fan. You really are, and you want to be outcast into the wastelands of Moffitopia. Honestly, yeah. But yeah, Genesis, pure brilliance. I loved it. Take care.
Thank you, Billy. And obviously,
cheers, Billy. Thank you, Billy.
Maybe I need to apologise.
pseudo fans.
Well, we've been told, haven't we, Ben Adam?
Yes, indeedy. I never said it wasn't any good. I just said it wasn't as good. Oh, no, I'm not going to go down that road again.
I didn't commit to it being my favourite, so oh dear.
Right. Ian Kirk very kindly has posted all the previous comments. He says, Laurie Nick said Rush is in Crimony. How dare my appointments keep me from missing one extra exciting moment of this podcast? Detect a note of sarcasm there, but I'll let it pass. Alan T. Butcher says, I'm now wondering where Kirby will have inserted his sock, because obviously... yes, Andy said put a sock in it, quite rightly so. Anthony Butcher, Debbie's delivery. Oh, we've done that one. Yes, because Debbie is talking about Debbie's delivery. And I don't mean Isla. I mean the next bit of feedback, which I'm just about to send to her.
I thought you were giving it to Mary.
Don't be
or
rude.
Andy.
No. I did the last one.
No.
Andy offered.
I know Andy offered, but. Trouble is,
yeah, there's no way I'm going to get to
the author. The author says that for comedy reasons, it's better off on your lap.
Yeah, that'd be so more
therefore,
entertaining, says.
Yeah, it's like, coming to you.
Or give it to Kirby. That should be entertaining too.
Oh God, no, we haven't got all night.
I've picked it before.
Right, go on then, Debbie. I'm going to lean back and listen and enjoy.
Oil your chair.
No. You got it, Deb.
All right. Yeah, it's just right. Oh.
Ellen T. Butcher just put the comment through. Debbie wants to, really.
Yay. Dalek conquers and destroys the hubris of the Dalek makers. Dear 20 megabyters, the genesis of the Daleks is, of course, a closely studied critique of racism and its corrosive effects upon society. Taking a classical science fiction stratagem of creating an illustrative a microcosm, the Untermenschen are cast as the Thals and the Übermenschen are, of course, the Khalids. Allusions to the Nazi regime hardly need clarification and have always been subject to ubiquitous discourse about this story. Ooh. Davros is the ultimate racist, perfectly happy to abrogate and adulterate everything about his own race and the society it generated in the name of an illusory purity and a twisted form of deeply misguided self-interest. The Khalid's rejection of the mutos from Khalid society are an indication of the Khalid predilection to fascism, which gives rise to Davros's propensity towards the atrocities at which he proves proficient. Ultimately, Davros falls foul of a hubristic and reflexive downfall, an inevitable and logical outcome. It should be noted that although some might suggest that the giant clams created by Davros are rubbish, we should remember that, to use a colloquial colonial term, they really didn't have the clams in the budget to afford anything more impressive. We also learn that Garman did in fact survive and escape the bunker to be the father of Romulus and Remus from Classic Six Doctor.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah. Severin did very well going on to change his name to Arrak and marrying Clara's grandmother Etta while she was living on Varos. Also, the wily commissioner from Inter Minor Kallik, now known as Davros, has definitely let ambition get the better of him after coming stuck with the Drashigs in the Carnival of Monsters. All in all, The Genesis of the Daleks is a rare instance of actual science fiction in Doctor Who. It is also standout quality drama, which could easily have stood up on its own right with the best of standalone TV drama of its time. It is also a worthy sequel to the exceptional Big Finish series, I, Davros. It is perhaps 3 minutes too short or 2 minutes too long, I'm not sure. Next up, Gordon Bennett. Doctor Who and the pathetic bunch of tin soldiers skulking around the galaxy in an ancient spaceship, or Tobias Bourne, Goldfinger from the Cheesy Hole. These go to my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Well done, Debbie. Yes, I think you got the better of Alan there. Okay, on the thread, we've got Laurie Nick says...
What about Ian Kirk's feedback?
Yeah, I'm coming to that. Right, point to that. Hey. Point deducted for Kirby for being impatient. Where's that gone? There we go. Right, back to the thread. Yeah, we've got Laurie Nick says, phew. John Xavier says, how did the Jason Mewes invite happen? I don't know what that's a reference to. What's that a reference to? Debbie, you know everything.
That's a reference to another one of my heroes coming to Comic-Con. Yes. Ryan O'Hallahan was talking about it.
Is he the other chap from that marvellous film?
My favourite film, yeah.
Which is called Clerks, yes. Yes. I watched that a few weeks ago, it's very funny.
You didn't? Oh, brilliant.
I haven't seen it yet.
And then he says, ha-ha, ha-ha.
Me neither.
It's worth watching. You probably won't like it, though, knowing you lot.
Slacken. Watch the follow-up. Watch Mallrats.
I will watch the follow, but that's not available. I can't seem to get hold of that. I got Clerks off iTunes.
I've got the DVD. You can borrow.
Alan T. Butcher says, I was wondering when Kirby. I've done that one. What is this in funny order? I'm going the wrong order now. Alan T. Butcher, pseudo Doctor Who fan, so proud of Billy. Then he says, Debbie wants to really. And then he says, fine reading, not sure predilection went well.
No, it didn't.
Don't know what that means.
Didn't. I didn't say it right.
Oh dear, Debbie. So I'll remove your ding.
I still want to hear Kirby read one of these.
A few years ago.
Share the pain.
Okay, should we do this?
Yes. Yay!
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Yay!
Genesis of the Daleks by Terra Nation. Night's coming on. The Mutas start moving at night. Nia's episodes are continuous. Sarah wears her yellow waterproof for most of it. The Doctor makes a speech about how he can destroy the Daleks by touching two wires. He wonders if he has the right to do so. Later, he tries to destroy them, but fails. There's a lot of being captured and escaping, as is usual with Doctor Who. There is collusion between Davros and the Fowls, but when Carlade authorities investigate, Davros has them exterminated. When the TARDIS crew are trapped in Davros' office, why don't they use the Dalek gun?
Oh, good point!
The Doctor has an etheric beam locator. In the Curse of Fatal Death, he had two of them.
Yes.
The Fowls are defeated, and the Caliph believes there is no other life in the seven galaxies. So who does Davros claim his Daleks will fight? At the end, Davros is killed by his own creations.
I'm not dead!
You're not dead?
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't? Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be soon dead,
man. Here's a clip from recent Big Bang Theory.
Leonard could barely finish the words Doctor Who wedding cake before I shut that down hard.
Here's a clip from the Craig Ferguson show from 11 years ago.
And then you moved to London. How did you end up in the Doctor Who thing?
I just auditioned for it, actually.
Really?
Like any other job, yeah. And then got it unexpectedly.
No, it wouldn't be unexpectedly to me.
Oh,
no,
thanks.
No, if you were auditioning for Doctor Who right now, you should be the Doctor. They should have a female Doctor, I think.
Is that possible? Can you have a female Time Lord?
Well, of course. He can, change.
Change into anything.
Yes. I mean...
Bye for now.
There you go. Well done, yes, thank you very much, Ian.
I can't wait to see what Jodie Whittaker's going to bring for this.
I'm can't wait for a new series of Doctor Who. I'm eager for some more new Doctor Who. Yes, so that's feedback covered. I was thinking something that came to mind while that was going on, but I forgot what it was. Let's have a look at the Facebook feed. Anything new on there? No. Well, there you go. All right, so therefore, if I can get my act together, it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Yep.
Right, if I can remember rightly, Kirby is on minus one, and somebody got a point somewhere along the line. I can't remember who it was. Who got a ding? Anybody remember?
I did, but you took it off me for getting the word wrong.
Correct, that's right, so that's fine.
You gave me a ding.
Did I now?
Ding-a-ding-a-ring-ring.
Okay, Mary, you get a ding. Right then. Ram-a-lam. Okay, right then. So, Mary, who do you think is going to win?
I'm going to go with Nerd Boy Kirby.
Now, Ashra, there was a little reference there to the Big Bang Theory. References to Doctor Who are not rare in Big Bang Theory, just like to say.
I know.
Who do you think's going to lose, Mary?
Me.
Pessimist. Right, so, and I've just finished watching Series 1 of the Big Bang Theory, and in fact, there's a Dalek ornament somewhere in the lad's flat anyway. It's there most weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Andy, yeah, who do you think is going to win?
References in Big Bang Theory.
And Star Trek references, a great show.
The thing that bothers me the most is they're calling the character Doctor Who.
Oh dear, yeah. Never mind, hey.
They don't call him the Doctor, do they? They just call him Doctor
Doesn't
Who.
Doesn't matter.
Well, the reason is most people don't know, okay. So they have to do it that way.
Doesn't matter, right. Andy, who do you think is going to win?
Kirby.
Okay. And who do you think is going to be last?
Mary.
Kirby, who do you think is going to win?
I sense a trend.
Debbie.
I don't think that's very likely. And Debbie, who do you think is going to... Sorry, Kirby, who do you think is going to lose? I beg your pardon.
Mary.
Right, Debbie, who do you think is going to...
Confidence.
Debbie?
Yeah?
Who's going to win?
Kirby.
Yes, and who do you think is going to be at the bottom?
Andy.
Ooh, interesting.
He does well.
Right, so now I've got to try and find my Genesis of the Daleks.
So I have not won your lack of confidence then, huh?
I think
who's rattling stuff around and banging stuff?
I'm sorry.
Not me.
Right,
points deducted for Debbie.
I've stopped. I was looking for a colour. Sorry.
So we're going to do this noise. Right, and so, Genesis of the Daleks.
I forgot to mute. I'm sorry, I've been muted.
Not good enough. Is that not good enough, Kirby, is it?
No, it's not good enough. I apologise.
No, I don't like the fact that you took a point away from her, because that takes a point away from me.
And a point deducted for Kirby for being naughty. Right, so... Okay, right then. So the first question goes to Mary. Mary, what were the first spoken words of the story? Oh dear! Just dropped me doodah.
I'm on a losing streak right now. I don't know.
Okay, anybody?
Welcome, Doctor.
As if trying to make out she didn't know.
I was trying to work out if it was the Time Lord, and it was. Yeah.
Mm, okay, Andy.
Hello.
What did the dead soldier found by the Doctor, Sarah and Harry, have on his jacket?
It's a radiation detector.
Why didn't you use your jacket?
Because I wasn't sure. I wasn't desperate. I wasn't sure about that.
Kirby.
Fair enough.
Kirby. Master? What Christmas song does Sarah mention as they make their way through the minefield?
I know.
What's our word for knowing... how do I double my points?
How do you Joker. Double your points? You say Joker.
Joker.
Yes.
Joker.
Yeah.
Good King Wenceslas.
Yeah.
Saying Joker three times does not actually have any bearing on it, but yes, well done.
I could remember the word.
Okay, and Debbie.
Yes.
What section were the Doctor and Harry first captured in?
I know.
Eee.
I think I know. But
101.
Oh, bugger.
Took her time, but got there in the end.
Such a bugger, really?
Yes, it's the bugger section. Yeah. It's a bit of a pain in the ass, that was.
Room 101, yeah.
Right, there's 1 point in the bonus pot for this question. What does General Ravon... Is that the right name? Raven? Ravon?
Raven.
What does General Ravon say is going to happen to the Doctor and Harry after they are interrogated?
I know.
Go on then, Debbie. What's your name? Kirby.
Debbie!
Kirby.
Debbie.
Yes. Kirby, yes.
Blood use of drastic surgery.
They're going to be hanged instead of shot. Because the
all right, that'll do. Hanged is what we're looking for. Thank you very much. Yes. Okay, so. So, next question goes to Mary. What are the first two objects the Doctor takes out of his pockets after being ordered by General Ravon?
This is a guess. Yo-yo and a spyglass?
I'll give you 1 point for the spyglass. Anybody to get the other object that was listed as the first two?
Keys?
Nope, that's it. Done. No. The other object. Big button?
Sonic screwdriver.
Hey, that was the other object, but you don't get any points for it. Andy.
Hello.
What will the Khalid battle cry be according to General Ravon?
Oh, I know.
Go on, Em.
I know.
Well, I don't, so go on, Mary. Go on, Mary. No, I don't know. It's Mary. Go on, Mary.
Go on, Mary. Oh, sorry. Andy gets this, and Mary gets this.
Yay!
Me!
I accidentally put your score up to 32, which would have been quite nice for you.
That's quite a joke, Kirby.
Kirby.
Master?
Nida examined an object belonging to the Doctor and asked him what it was.
Well, of course I know this one.
What was it?
It's an etheric beam locator.
Yes, it was. Debbie.
Yes.
What is Davros's first words? Ooh, it's gone very quiet.
Something about the test.
Yeah. God's sake.
Something about the test. Observe the test closely, my friends.
Got that. Yes.
Could have played. Yeah. Could have played Joker on several occasions, but hasn't. But 2 points in the bonus pot. What is missing at the beginning of episode 2?
Well, there's no reprise.
Yay! Well done.
Hmm. Excellent. And right, according to my records, only one person's played their Joker.
Me.
Yeah, he played it 3 times.
No, he didn't. We couldn't remember what it was called. He hasn't played it. He played his double points thing 3 times.
Double points thing.
Yeah. Right, the current scores are in last place with 3 points is Mary. In second place, joint with 4 points each, is Andy and Debbie. And in the lead with 5 points, it's Kirby. Next question goes to Mary.
Okay.
Who helps Davros with the first Dalek tests? You won't get that one.
Ranson?
Nope, anybody?
Garmin?
Is the correct answer. Okay, Andy.
Yep.
Right. After the time ring is confiscated, who are Harry and the Doctor handed into the care of?
Oh, God, it's the... Oh, flipping heck. It's the...
Oh, I think I know.
I know.
Wait for Andy.
He's the good guy, and I can't think of his name.
Right.
Blast.
So it's a...
I can't remember his name, though.
And then we're waiting for Mary, who knows the answer.
I think it's Ranson.
Ronson, okay.
Yes, that's what she said. She said Ranson, Ronson, that'll do for me.
That's where the name comes in.
Yeah. Yes.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
Yeah, I've lost where I was now.
Ronson.
Hair of. Yeah, shut up. according to Ronson, Skaro is the only planet in how many galaxies capable of supporting intelligent life?
Too bad I don't have a joker, because it's seven.
Yeah, somehow Kirby keeps getting the ones that are a little easier to answer.
Debbie.
Yes.
What was Davros's What was Davros's Dalek project known as prior to getting its more familiar name?
I think everyone knows this one.
Go on, Debbie. Debbie.
Yeah, I know.
Well, go on,
Debbie, you want a great project. Joker, I'll bother.
Yeah, all right, I'll give you that.
Mark III Joker Project Box. That's right.
Sorry.
Mark III Joker, Joker Project. Yes, dear.
Can you wait for just a second while we say goodbye to the Geek Daughter? She's going. She's moving to Augusta. Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Geek Daughter.
Bye. Bye, Geek Daughter.
Okay.
Are we back now? Oh. Okay, where do we get to? Whose question was that for? I've lost the plot now.
That was right.
Oh, therefore it's 2 points in the bonus spot. What colour was the switch Davros used to operate the Daleks?
Who are you asking?
Red.
It's a bonus spot
red.
Question.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Andy. Red. Andy, it's right, anybody?
Orange.
2 points for Kirby. Well, no, I'll give him one.
I'll give
one point for Kirby. So that leaves one point in the bonus box.
Yeah, I wrote down red, so maybe it depends on which version you're watching.
Or maybe your colour setup's
a
bit...
It was red in my version.
Yeah, it was red in my version.
Right,
yeah.
The current scores are...
Obviously.
Shut up. The current scores are, in last place, with 4 points, it's Mary. In third place, or indeed, well, it's third, actually, Andy with 5. In joint lead with 8 points each, it's Kirby and Debbie. Next question goes to Mary. What was the first word ever uttered by a Dalek?
I know.
I don't know.
Debbie knows.
Aliens.
Great.
Wouldn't it be alien?
Kirby. Right then, next question goes to Andy. What was the name of the explosive that was being packed into the head of the rocket?
Hello.
Joker. Distronic explosive.
Should have played your Joker there, but yes.
I said Joker!
I didn't hear
it. He did.
Well, you should have, I let you off.
No, what I didn't say was my double points thing.
Okay, you have your Joker has been played, and you have 4 points. Right, Kirby. Right then. What colour boots does Sarah wear?
I think they're purple.
You do, do you? Nope, anybody?
I think they're yellow, aren't they?
You lot. Nope, they were red. Red boots. Right.
You sure they weren't orange?
No, they weren't. Was that Kirby's question? Right, so, Debbie.
Yes.
What improvements does Davros want to make to the Daleks?
I know.
Improvements.
Yes, what improvements does Davros want to make to the Daleks, Debbie?
He wants them to... optical and sensory. Yeah!
Oh, well done.
Wow.
Wasn't what I got, but well done.
All right. So there's 4 points in the bonus pot for this question. What substance does Davros use to strengthen What substance does Davros use to strengthen the Khalid Dome? It's all gone quiet over there. Anybody going to come up with an answer for that one? Right then, so still 4 points in the bonus spot. The answer was 30-foot-thick reinforced concrete. All right, Debbie.
All
right. Right then, Mary.
Yes.
Who reported the governing body's decision to suspend Davros' work to Davros? It's all gone quiet over there again.
I'll have a
Bronson
go.
Again? Bronson?
Nope.
Was it Garmin?
Nope. Hang on. I'll place a doodle for this. Nope. It was Mogron. Mogron. Right. So the next question goes to Andy. While trying to rescue Sarah, the doctor introduces himself to a couple of guards. What does he say?
I know.
That was his quote.
I know.
Someone's quote.
It wasn't mine. Was good King's Wenceslas.
That's not the answer, though, is it, Andy?
Well, come on, what's the answer?
Go on.
Hello, I'm doing a bit of espionage.
Aww.
That's a shame. Mary?
Hello, Snow Coconut.
Excuse me, can you help me? I'm a spy.
Hey!
I knew it was something like that. I couldn't remember it.
Kirby.
Master?
I'm just trying to find the question. So, oh, there we go. What is the name of Sarah's muto friend?
Severin.
Debbie.
Yes.
What does the doctor exclaim just after the rocket is launched?
I think I know.
Right then. Andy says he knows.
It's something like, I sent two dear friends in there. It's something like that. That's not
I'll give you a point. It's worth a point. I sent Harry and Sarah in there.
Oh, yeah.
So that's near enough, but not... Yeah. If it was a 2 points, I wouldn't have given it to you. Spence, Harry and Sarah. All right, then. So the next question goes... Oh, it's a bonus spot question. 8 points and the bonus spot. Remember, if you... The one person, that's Mary, who can play their joker on this question, could get 16 points for this. So therefore, this is the question.
Do it, come on.
Why was the doctor free to leave the Khalid Dome?
I know.
Go on in.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Go on in, Andy.
I
know,
yeah. It's because they're giving a general amnesty to all prisoners.
Precisely master? Right. No, you are master me. That is the answer I've got on this piece of paper.
No, the answer, yeah, I see where you're going, but he was free to leave the Thal Dome, not the Khalid Dome. God.
Right, point deducted for pedantry.
We were talking about that confusion, weren't we?
I think.
Where am I?
Andy knew what was.
The Khalid Dome had been destroyed.
Andy knew what was going on.
Who's the president?
Andy knew what I was talking about. Right.
Where am I now?
Andy got the points there. Right. So the current scores are in last place with 5 points. It's my phone. I'm getting loads of messages coming through. People want me. Last place with 5 points is Mary. In third place with 9 points is Kirby. In second place with 11 points is Debbie. And then the lead with 18 points is Andy. Next question goes to Mary. What is the name of the girl that the doctor befriended in the Thal Dome?
I know.
The Joker. Betten.
I'm very pleased for Mary on that particular one.
To use my joker.
Yes. Andy.
Yep.
Where, according to Nida, is the only place that Davros never goes?
I know.
Andy's question?
No, I haven't got that one. No, go on, Kirby.
Go on in, Kirby.
The lower level. By the detention cell.
All right, don't go too far. Kirby.
Master?
I'm trying to find where it was. All right. What is the cliffhanger from episode 4 to 5?
You will tell me.
Yes, I just told you. it was indeed. Right, Debbie.
Yes.
Which of the Daleks' defeats did the Doctor first tell Davros of?
Oh, I know.
Oh, I know.
Does Debbie know is the question.
I hope she does.
I hope I know. The Dalek Invasion of Earth.
Yeah.
2000.
Yes. Yep.
Yes.
Well done, Debbie.
I like figures.
So do I. But not the sort of figures you're thinking of. Right then, there's 1 point in the bonus spot. And it is this. What colour is Davros's life control button?
I know.
Go on in, Kirby. Kirby?
Black.
I'm sure it's not blue.
No, black.
I don't
orange.
Know. Which version did you see?
It's yeah. orange. It's orange.
Right, yeah. So the current scores are, in last place with 9 points, it's Mary. In joint second place with 13 points each, it's Debbie and Kirby. And in the lead with 18 points is Andy. Next question goes to Mary. What are the two things the Doctor, Sarah and Harry must recover?
I know.
Yeah, I know one of them.
I know too, but
the time ring is one of them.
Yes.
Oh, I know. Yes, I know the one. Yes, of course.
Is it the explosives and detonators?
No, no, it's not. No, it's not. No, no.
Hang on, hang on. Right. Yes.
I said I know. Who's first,
go on then,
first.
Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie was first. Yeah.
Go on, Debbie.
It was the tape.
Oop.
Oh yes, the tape.
It was
that's
the
right.
tape. Yes, indeed. Okay, Andy.
Yep.
Right. Where did Nida have a dozen crack men waiting?
In section 9.
9? 9? 9?
Shut
can
up.
I just ask why the Doctor didn't just lie?
Good point. Right, Kirby. I can't answer that question, by the way. I know it's fairly rhetorical, Debbie.
Yeah.
Right. Right. How many scientists went over to Davros's side?
I think I know.
I think it was two.
Yeah.
It was two. Right then. Debbie.
Yeah.
Who was the first of the Doctor's group of friends to reach safety from the bunker explosion?
I think I know.
Betten?
Nope. Anyway, Kirby says he knows.
Severin.
Yeah.
It was.
He ran out ahead.
So that leaves a couple of questions that are free for alls. Well, three questions, actually. So, free for all question. Oh, we'll do the scores first, shall we? Right then.
Yeah,
oh, no.
And
then we've got a point in the bonus spot before we do I'll get it right in a minute. Right. Bonus spot question first, which is this one. How long does the Doctor think he has delayed the development of the Daleks?
I know.
Go on, I know. 1,000 years.
Yep. I was going to say 1,000 years as well.
Well, I'll normally deduct points for that, but I'll put it down to Skype and give the points to Andy, because he said I know first, so that goes to Andy. I won't deduct.
Oh, I said I know first.
No, you didn't. No. Unfortunately, it was
no,
Andy. It may have sounded at your end the like you did, but
I
unfortunately,
thought Mary
I may not have heard him at my.
No, I apologise, but unfortunately,
I heard Andy first.
I heard Andy first as well, but I'll give you both a point. There we go. How's that?
There, that's good.
I'm feeling generous tonight. There we go.
Seeing Adam, what can it possibly cost you?
Right. So, but two free for all.
Wait, what's the scores?
No, the scores, indeed. In last place with 10 points, it's Mary. In third place with 14 points, it's Debbie. Second place with 16 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead with 21 points, it's Andy. Free-for-all question number one is this. What are the last two words of the story? Gone very quiet.
Something good. I wrote that down.
Well done. Right. And the final free-for-all question is this. Who directed Genesis of the Daleks? No, it wasn't God.
Pennant Roberts.
David Maloney.
Right, so, Debbie, well done.
Oh, very good.
1 point for Debbie, because Andy got the question wrong. Right then, so that leaves us at the moment with the scores as this. In last place, 10 points, Mary. In third place, 16 points, Kirby. Second place, 17 points, Debbie. In the lead, 21 points, Andy.
Are you
right.
kidding?
A bit late, I've put it back there, sorry.
Mary predicted Kirby to be ahead. Oh dear. And then predicted herself to be last place. That went rather well for her. Andy predicted Kirby to be ahead. And Mary to be in last place. Kirby predicted Debbie to be ahead.
No,
and
I was wrong.
Mary to be in last place. And Debbie predicted Kirby to be ahead.
And Andy in last place.
And Andy to be
in last place.
I don't always get everything, guys.
Yeah,
I don't know. All the times you watch things, I figure by then you have it memorized.
So the final scores of this week's You Won't Get This One. I'd love to know what the scores were in the previous edition, because obviously Reese was involved in that one. Are this in last place, 17 points, Debbie. In third place, 20 points, Mary.
Yay!
In second place, with 32 points, Kirby. And then the winner this week, 42 points, is Andy.
Get in, my son.
There we go.
Sorry, Adam, can you still hear me all right? Someone's streaming upstairs. So
I can hear you all right at the moment, yes.
Okay,
right,
brilliant.
So we
can't have any other internet on. It has to literally just be Skype. No, nothing else up.
Get white fibre, 152
megabits. We will when we move house. We've just bought a house. We're very, very pleased.
Right. All right, where are you moving to?
About 100 yards down the road.
I was going to say, I suppose you're on the Isle of Wight, you can't really move any far, can you?
Right, okay, right, moving on.
Can you still, toss a stone and hit Adam's house?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, shut up, right.
Okay. Well, we're all going to need that change of address.
Be quiet.
The big thing, Adam, I had to tell my...
You people thinking that I know these things well, with the next story, I've seen... Yeah, I'm pretty familiar with all of Tom Baker. But next time story, I last saw 38 years ago.
Splendid, right. Let's look at the feed. Right, so we got Alan T. Butcher said, we want to know why we didn't have our... when we had etheric... What? Say that again. Why didn't we find our... I can't really understand what that says.
What I want to know is why didn't we find out where the etheric beam was?
Well, see, that word I, which is missing from the statement, has quite an important impact on the sentence.
It's a hard one, isn't
it? He corrects it. I see. He corrects it a couple.
I didn't get that one.
Yeah.
And then he says... And he says, good to see the GARM providing the background on the show this week. There he is, by the door, as usual. And... Then he says, "What I said it got a one I want to know." Yeah, he said it. He corrected it.
Yeah,
he
corrected it. Yeah.
And then Laurie next says, "I love the ox blood boots." What? Oh, talking about Sarah. Is she talking about Sarah Jane? I don't know.
Yeah.
So moving on, we have Doctor Who news, which I'm going to hopefully have. There's going to be something for Mrs. Can't Be Bothered to Turn Up for Podcast Melrose to read.
Pull anything up. You know that, don't you?
Debbie.
She said.
Right, David Tennant accepts damages from News Group newspapers. The Doctor number 10, David Tennant, has accepted a substantial undisclosed damages from News Group newspapers for the publishers now closed, News of the World, over a historic phone hacking claim.
Ow.
Yes. The actor, Jeremy Wilkin, has died. He had a sort of brilliant curl to his lip. And he is in the next story we're going to watch, The Revenge of the Cybermen. He's died at the age of 87. When we watch the story, you'll know what I'm talking about. He had this sort of beautiful curl, sort of evil face. You'll have to watch it to understand it. He's passed away. There's a Doctor Who Monsters thing. It's a Doctor Who Monsters is to be released by Koch Media on two discs, DVD, the 5th of March. It's a unique compilation of one documentary series, I Was a Doctor Who Monster, and five titles from Real Time Pictures and claimed Mythmakers series. That'd be quite a good thing, wouldn't it, if you like that sort of stuff. Not if you don't, obviously. Alistair Pearson prints for sale for charity. I do hope Alistair himself knows this. Phantom Events are selling a limited number of Alistair Pearson art prints in aid of People's Dispensing Sick Animals, a veterinary charity in the United Kingdom. Each card available for £5 for an A4. Oh, it's not the actual, it's a print of the artwork, it's not the actual artwork, but still bloody good. Plus an additional £1 towards postage. That's quite good, actually.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. The cards include Delta and the Bannermen, Tomb of the Cybermen, which is a very iconic bit of artwork that Alistair's famous for, Enemy of the World, Revenge of the Cybermen, Pirate Planet, War Machine, Five Doctors, Remembrance of the Daleks, Mind Warp, Planet of the Daleks, Talons of Wen Jiang, Key to Time, Survival, and Pyramids of Mars.
Is any of those the one with your initials in it?
No. No, mine was Terror of the Zygons, I think, if I remember rightly.
Oh, okay.
Right, so, win tickets to Doctor Who premiere. BBC Radio 1 is offering the chance to win two VIP tickets to the exclusive premiere of the new series of Doctor Who, including a chance to meet the brand new 13th Doctor herself, Jodie Whittaker.
But when would that be?
I don't know. To enter, you will need to text the correct answer to a multiple choice question. Once you've entered, you will have to listen to the Radio 1 breakfast show at 8 a.m. There, you'll be given a word that you'll need to answer on your phone with if you are called live on the radio. If you don't answer with the correct word, you won't win. Texts are charged at your standard message rate. Excuse me. to enter, you just need to answer the question. My throat's going, Deb. You might have to take over in a minute. What is the name of the device the Doctor often carries? So, the options are... is it a sonic screwdriver?
Yo-yo, yeah.
Sonic spatula or sonic spade? I'm not going to go further with that one. That's quite funny. Yes?
Your voice is going.
Mine?
Yes.
Yes, because I need a drink. I just got it's quite dry in here, the fire's on. Lineage, nice. Lethbridge Stewart story is available. Oh, I forgot to mention this last time. Of course, we weren't on last time, because Peter Wingard has died at the age of 90. Legend! Probably better known as Jason King, but obviously he was in Planet of Fire as well. The Chosen One.
Oh, that's
One. He wasn't the Chosen One, but he went on a bit about the Chosen One.
Wasn't he in Flash Gordon?
He was indeed in Flash Gordon and many other things. Bit of a ledge, and he's passed away. Time Shadow Second Nature, a new unauthorized Doctor Who short story anthology. Time Shadow Second Nature has been published by Pseudoscope Publishing. I wonder how they get away with that, because it doesn't say Doctor Who on it, does it? Even though it looks like it's a Doctor on the cover. The BBC normally kick up a fuss about things like that. David Fisher has died at the age of 88. He wrote four Doctor Who stories, all starring the fourth Doctor, Tom Baker. Creature from the Pit, and what else was it? He didn't do City of Death, did he? I think he finished a Douglas Adams story, which became City of Death. Or something like that. But yeah, another Doctor Who legend, behind the scenes legend. Doctor Who magazine 521 is out with a picture of Jodie Whittaker in a sort of Doctor costume on the front. It's funny, they show these pictures of the new Doctors in their costumes, then when they actually come to play the Doctor, they don't keep those costumes very long. The 12th Doctor is probably...
Yeah, they just have them for a brief moment.
Yeah. The 12th Doctor's costume changed every week. We essentially just had that sort of...
Basically,
coat.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. What's that point? Yeah, that's about it, really. And then it goes back to what we already talked about in the past, the final figures for Doctor Who on Christmas Day. And the BBC iPlayer figures as well, which was quite interesting. Ninth. Yes, my love, what did you say?
I bought a copy of the Christmas special for my dad, and he stepped away from Doctor Who for quite some time, but he really loved it, absolutely loved it. Wanted me to say that it nearly made him cry, and he really loved it, but he wanted us to try and explain to him how come Clara came back as a memory when she'd been wiped from his memory.
Obviously, the hatred that you have for Clara is second.
Said horrendous. To do it, and it was written that way.
Right.
Because he's a TV science fiction fantasy.
Yeah, that's
pretty much what I texted him, but I said I totally agree.
And I like the fact that Clara's in it. She was in the show for 3 years. She really had to do a cameo in that story, and I have got no problem with it whatsoever. She's not coming back to Doctor Who.
Thank God.
Nor is Karen Gillan, although Matt Smith said he would like to come back.
Matt Smith wants to, doesn't he?
Yeah. Right, toys, figures, and gifts and party packs available at whowon.co.uk.
Woo!
Which are quite good, actually, but wouldn't be much use to me. There's the pop vinyl Sarah Jane Smith figure.
Yes, I pre-ordered that, actually.
Yeah. That's available to buy now. £8.99. The call box mug. A call box mug? That's a TARDIS mug, I think they're supposed to say. TARDIS doormat, which is quite nice, actually, although
I don't know where I'd
stick it in my ass. Sonic's fork. So it's like a spoon with the forky bits on the top, and it looks like the 11th Doctor's Sonic screwdriver. And the Sonic barbecue tongs.
For heaven's sake.
Ideal really for people who are really looking forward to the summer.
Oh, yes.
For heaven's sake.
Coming soon items. Mary didn't sound particularly impressed. Coming soon items are espresso set of Doctor Who artworks. Ghost Walk by James Goss, which is a big finished story. Kingdom of Lies by some writers, which is a 5th Doctor big finished story. Then we have the Series 7, Volume 1, CD. So I think it's an audio book by Andrew Smith, which is a friend of the show. And War Master 1, Only the Good, Nicholas Briggs story featuring the Master as played by Sir Derek Jacobi. So those items all available on whowon.co.uk. Lavazzi, who I need to send invoice to, because it's time for them to pay up their sponsorship fee. They have got some scarves for sale. Sorry about the stupid noises in the background, because Star wants to get out of the room, and now I've got a letter out.
I was wondering what the noise was.
Magic has just barged himself out of the room as well. Yes, we've got your traditional 4th Doctor scarves. The Series 18 scarf is on sale at the moment, and £29.99. Might be worth getting. I have that one. And you've also got the... Oh, I can hear myself. That's weird. And, of course, we've got the TARDIS Christmas hat as well. Nice thing to get for next year, maybe. I don't know. Along with the Paisley scarf, the 7th Doctor's jumper, which mine's a bit tatty. I could do with a new one. And a few other beautiful items. Lavazzi.co.uk. So that really does tie up those side of things. But I would like to talk about the Isle of Wight Comic-Con.
Yay!
Simply because it's been so long.
Can you find a way that I can get there?
So long since we last talked
about
it. Yes, well done, Andy. What a stupid thing to say. Is there any way I can get there? Because obviously you know how to get there. That's one of the silliest things you've ever said, Kirby.
I don't have the money.
Here we go. Yeah, you just answered your own question then. But there is a way you can get here. It's called crowdfunding. Right then,
that's what I'm thinking of doing.
You don't have to crowdfund, you silly woman.
No,
you live here.
To go to America. To go to conquer Cerberus.
Okay, right. So the current list of film, television, media people are Sean Astin, Jason Mewes, as you referred to from Clerks. Oh, now the dog wants to come back in. Bear with.
Noochie boochie noochies.
Get in. Fidget. Somebody called Kerry Hirokuki Tagawa from something or other. Joseph Pantaliano from something or other. Jason Narvi and Paul Scurry, I think, of Power Rangers. The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, to be precise. Ethan Phillips, who I really do want to get a photo opportunity with, from Star Trek Voyager. He played Neelix. I love that character so much. Connor Trinneer from Stargate Atlantis and Stargate Origins. Now, and Star Trek Enterprise as well. Apparently that would be quite an interesting person for Reese, who is a big Stargate fan. A chap called Michael Eklund, and then some chap called Sylvester McCoy.
Yay! A
lovely lady called Valerie Leon. Gary Jones, another Stargate actor. And
yeah.
What's SGU? No, what that says.
Stargate Universe.
Very.
I see.
I enjoyed Stargate Universe. They should have carried on with that.
Right. John Davey, friend of the show. Jessica Kane Stafford. That's an Island Con indie. Along with Amelie Leroy, Mark Sears, Maria Lee, Jessica Messenger, and Heidi Matrix. Heidi Matrix. That's rather cool. Which I think she'd be quite interesting for Isabella, who went as Harley Quinn last year, and there's a picture of her on the Island Con site dressed as Harley Quinn. So those are the main announced guests, many to follow. Isle of Wight Comic Con, get your tickets, they're selling out. And what is definitely selling out are photo opportunities. I've snapped up a photo opportunity with Sean Astin. I'll prioritise that over a photo opportunity with Sylvester McCoy, because I've already had a few photo opportunities with Sylvester. So, but
I'm hoping by next payday there might be a couple of, because we can't afford.
Somebody dropped something.
Sorry.
Right, what else we got going on at the Island Con?
There's a really nice, cool Doctor Who zone coming up.
Yeah, so if you go to the Island Con website, which is www.islandcon.co.uk, yes, you can say it, www if you say Wish Kirby. It's not illegal. But might not really need to type that in. Islandcon.co.uk. There's also a drop down that says zones, and the zones are, well, there's a Dino Zone, there's Cosplay Zone, there's what?
I said, yeah.
Oh, Doctor Who Zone and Gaming Zone. So we have some involvement in the Doctor Who Zone. On Tuesday, I'm doing a photo shoot with a lovely lady called April Turner, who is a professional cosplayer from the Isle of Wight. So I'm quite excited about what she's going to be wearing during that particular photo shoot. So I'll be doing that at the New Holmwood Hotel between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. and which is quite interesting, because that's the hotel that looks after the celebs during the Comic Con. So that's I hope that happens now. I've actually mentioned it on the show. But yeah, she's a nice lady. And yes, lots of exciting things to come. Isle of Wight Comic Con. Yeah. And yes, Kirby must try.
It's
and...
huge, isn't it? It's just escalated this year. It's amazing.
Who's rattling sweet wrappers?
Not me.
Not me.
But Andy there from the other.
Not me.
So are we recording next Sunday?
Think we are. It's only a four-part story.
I can't do next Sunday.
Okay. Yeah, we're recording next Sunday.
Yeah,
sorry, Andy. Yes, Sunday the 9th of February, we're doing Revenge of the Cybermen.
Seven.
Okay.
Back to normal
seven
time.
7:30 was definitely better for me, but seven.
Oh, it would be,
fine.
Wouldn't it? Well, say 7, all right, and I'll see what She Must Be Obeyed says. But I think the problem is I got moaned at about half an hour ago that Isabella, who's trying to get off to sleep on the school night, couldn't get off to sleep.
It's half next weekend.
Pardon?
Isn't it half term next weekend? So she won't be trying to get to sleep on the school night next week.
I'm not entirely sure. I keep that in contact with it, what school nights and what aren't. But either way, we'll see what happens. But at the moment, say 7, all right?
Okay.
Good people.
Oh my goodness, that's going to be the weekend of the 40th anniversary of my first science fiction convention.
Hooray!
I'm old!
Yeah, really? You're officially old.
Anyway, right, so you can't actually... I can't see the link on the Island Con website for the photo opportunities, but it was posted on the Island Con Facebook page. But yeah, and video opportunities. So obviously we're heavily involved. That's APV Services, producer of this podcast, heavily involved in the video ops. You can actually get video ops with Sylvester McCoy. Well worth doing, I reckon.
Ooh.
Ooh, indeed. So, as I said, Revenge of the Cybermen next week. It's nice to be back at long last. Let's hope we actually do manage to get together next week, otherwise it'll be quite a quiet show. But until next week, continue watching Doctor Who, continue listening to the show, thanking you for doing so. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Pinky Pants.
Bye, y'all.
Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is an APV services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.